Service is perfect for us. We're had tears flowing, and you know, God just spoke to our heart. And I thank God for you being faithful, brother. I thank God for men who aren't afraid to get up here and preach God's word and be faithful to that thing. And it's men like that that I was able to see that I needed a Savior. They preached the King James Bible to me, and you know, for those who don't know me, my name is Dale Moore, and almost 4 years ago I got saved. October 10th, 2011, 90 and a half East Main Street. During a meeting we had up here, Pastor Shankles was preaching, and I went home, tore out the frame, and went home and called my pastor and told him, come on over, we need to talk. And, you know, they got down, they started praying, and nobody coaxed me into salvation. Nobody led me into the Romans Road. Nobody said, repeat this prayer after me. They just went over there and prayed. I got down on my knees, and I prayed on the couch. And Jesus Christ gloriously saved me, and I thank you for it. And, anyway, so God's been good to me ever since. And, you know, it's things like that that teach me how to be who I'm supposed to be. It's things like that, you know, watching these men of God who stand on this word, and you know, you can see how they treat their wives, and see how they treat their children, and watch how they do things. That has given me the ability, along with the word of God, to see exactly where I'm supposed to be in life, and I thank God for that. And Brother Tony, I'm excited to see you, brother. I mean, I ask about you all the time to your brother, and you know, sometimes he knows things, sometimes he don't, but I sure love seeing you here. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 9. That's where I'm going to go. And the Lord touched me with this message. Sitting at home, reading my Bible one day, he just showed me some things. I thank God that he does that. It's very important to be faithful to your Bible. It's very important to be faithful in reading it. And, you know, just a little thing I like to use. Bible basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, I just imagine God saving somebody like me and then saying, go ahead and live your life. I would have no clue. I mean, for 40 years I ran with the devil. For 40 years I lived in the flesh. For 40 years I went out there and I lived as an alcoholic and a drug addict. I mean, I did prison in 3 different states. I mean, I've been through it all. Alright, Lord, I'm saved now. What do I do? I don't believe we have such a cruel God that would leave me hanging out there like that.
That's right.
Right here. Here's my instructions. You know, I know we wish that when we have children, that they come with instruction manuals. Well, guess what? When you're born again, you have an instruction manual that your father wrote for you. And he gave it to you to read and study and to love. And I'm just telling you now, it's life-changing. If you don't know something, he can teach it to you. Because from the family I came from, I didn't know how to be a dad. I didn't know how to be a husband. I'm not perfect at it. But I tell you what, God has taught me and brought me from a place. Let me just tell you this. God has brought me from the gutters. From the absolute gutters of society. Let me just tell you this, who still hold that against me today. But thank God my Father in heaven doesn't. But he brought me from the depths, from the crust, or from the sewers of society. And made a man out of me. Made a man out of me. That's something only God could do. That's something, a miracle only God could have done that. And when he stepped inside of me almost 4 years ago, I'm just telling you now, I ain't look back.
Amen.
I don't want to look back. As a matter of fact, I stand up here and I try to wave the flag. Please don't go that way. You want destruction? I can show you destruction. I can show you. I wish I had a movie screen so you could see some of our lives. We're sitting in this room and we're trying to warn you. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Well, you want to go that way. And I feel sorry for you. Because you know what? You just take for granted that you're sitting in this church today and God had a message for you at the 10 o'clock. He had a message for you at the 11 o'clock. And he's got a message for you at the 1 o'clock. What do you want to do with it? Well, I'm just telling you, Matthew 9, we're going to start in verse 20. Y'all know this. But you got to look at it from Jesus Christ's point of view. You got to look at it from a lost person's point of view. You got to look at it from somebody who has no clue of what's going on. Let me just share this with you. And I got to pull my glasses out. Sorry, I should have had them on. Matthew 9:20, and it says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I should be made whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. This October makes 4 years that Jesus looked at me, Brother Mike, and said, hey, comfort. Woo! I made you whole. And I'm just going to tell you, if you look on the outside and think that I've been made whole by that, you're crazy, you missed it. The outside is just a reflection of what's going on inside of me.
Amen.
Let me just say that again. The outside is just a reflection of what Jesus Christ done inside of me. Oh, you still have tattoos? Good, God left them there. He could have took that salvation. He left them there for a witness and a testimony of where he brought me from.
Man.
I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I don't push anybody, make fun of them for their race or whatever, but I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mother didn't know any better. And by the way, my mother's sitting here with me today.
Amen.
You know why? She's seen what Jesus Christ done to her wretched son. She's seen. She knows the things that I've done. She knows the things that I've been through. And she's seen what Jesus Christ, when he stepped into my heart, she said, what happened? And I got saved. Something changed about me. Something happened. No longer was I alcoholic. The issues of blood, she had it for 12 years. I had it for 40. 40 years that I had these issues. And Jesus Christ said, you take comfort. You've been made whole. After 40 years of dragging him through the mud, 40 years of doing what I wanted to do, Jesus Christ, you know, just reach for the hem of his garment. If we can get a person to even look at the hem of his garment today,
right.
They won't even look at the hem of his garment, let alone reach for it. It's there for the taking. It's there. It says this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and no matter what was going on or what people thought of her, she reached at the hem of Jesus' garment for healing and cleaning, and she got it. She was not going to allow the people, this world, or circumstances get in the way of her cleansing and healing. What is standing in your way today? What is standing in front of you in Jesus Christ? What is standing in your way for reaching at the hem of his garment? What is in your way? What is so important that you're willing to give up your soul for what is going on in your life today and not reach out for Jesus Christ? Since you can gain the whole world. You want to gain the whole world? Is the world really that important to you that you would lose your soul in eternity? Oh, here he goes. He's going to preach on that hell thing. Hey, I'm sorry you don't believe it, but when your feet are burning, your toes are burning, and you're falling for eternity, and it won't stop, and the animals are gnashing at you, and there's darkness, and all you smell is burn hot, sulfur, don't sit there and blame anybody else but yourself. You've been warned. Hell is a real place, whether you believe it or not. You know what? It's not where all the partiers go. And let me just say, if you're really that ignorant to think that hell's a place to go party, we'll see how happy you think it is when the angels are binding you up hand and foot and casting you in it.
That's right.
That's right. Hell's a real place. For unrepentant sinners. That's what it's for. Guilty. Thank God he made me see what I had to see. Thank God he finally took my heart and exposed it to me. Thank God he made me really see what I really needed to see. And you know what? I didn't run from it all the time. There was a time that I sat there and I didn't want to see anything he had to show me. And then I knew. Look at those issues, Dale. Let God show you what you really need in your heart. Let me tell you what altars are filled up with today. Oh God, I'm so sorry for all the things I've done. Oh God. Really? You know what God needs? He doesn't need your little broken spirit and your little broken heart. He wants the contrition for what you've done. He wants you to realize that there's something inside of you. There's something inside of you that he has to expose. That he has to expose. And he's going to show you this thing before you get what's really going on. It's not hard for somebody to come up here sorry for what they've done. But being sorry and being contrite are two different things.
Right.
You know what it says? Those God won't despise. The altars are full with people who are sorry for the things they've done. I can sit here, probably just about anybody in this room, here in the next 20 minutes to get you to say some prayer. I get you to do that. But did it really show you what happened in your life? Or I can sit here and I can lead you through the Romans Road. But let me, did it expose to you what you really are to God? Are you really seeing yourself the way God needs you to see? Has He took that thing that's so deep that it takes the miracle of Jesus Christ to expose that thing to you before you'll come to contrition, before you'll come to the place of salvation? Go out there and ask somebody who doesn't even come to church, you ever think you've done wrong? They'll tell you, yeah. Did that get them to heaven? They have no clue why they even need to be saved. No clue. How do I know that? Because I work in the community. I go out there and I work with these people. I give up my comfort to go out there and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? To the hope that they will just reach for the hem of His garment. I tell people all the time, please never. Don't you dare ever look at me, because I'll fail you. I can help you ruin your life. You go ahead and look at Jesus Christ and what He's done. You go ahead and look what He wants to do for you. Look what He's done for me and many other people. And that same very thing He wants to do for you. But you know what? You need to reach for the hem of that garment. They don't want the hem of that garment. They don't want healing. You know what? They want some doctor to give them a pill. Lay them down on the couch and tell them you're a nutcase. They want to go out and drink and party and have unmarried sex and everything else. That's okay. It's all right. It's all good. And let me just tell you something right now. Friday, America went to a place that I never thought would. It became a satellite nation. Hey, don't worry. The legalization of marijuana is coming. Come on! Don't worry. Soon with all this baloney that's going on, they'll start paying your kids to be in pornography. It's illegal right now, but don't worry. It's coming. Corrupt America. Huh? You know what God says? Turn us over to our own minds. You know what happened? God gave Americans what they want, the lust of their own heart. Hey, don't complain about what's going on now. You got what you want. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Let me ask you something. Show me one time, anywhere in this Bible, where God promised you the next 3 seconds of your life. And you want to play with it? On the Old Testament law, we see that this lady in Leviticus 15:19, it says, if a woman had an issue of blood, her issue in her flesh be blood, she should be put apart 7 days, and whatsoever she touches, she'll be unclean until even. So we know that this woman had that issue for 12 years. Yet here she is coming to Jesus, who's God, who wrote the law, knowing she's unclean. Knowing that if she touched him, it can make him unclean. Let's think about that. She knew she was unclean through the law. She knew the way to be clean and whole was Jesus Christ. And she sought Him out until she found Him, and she was made whole. Jesus knew she was unclean through the law. He knew she had to see it and come to Him. When she did, she was made whole. You understand that? She didn't just grab for the hem of His garment. She realized where she stood with Jesus Christ. She realized who He was. She realized that the only one that could forgive her for what she's done, the only one who could help her and cleanse her for what was going on with her body, was the very one who fulfilled the law in His death. He could take that upon Him. Let me ask you something. He said, I don't come to destroy the prophets, the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill them. And you know what? This lady knew that. She knew exactly what Jesus Christ could do for her. And regardless of what was going on, regardless of her circumstances, regardless of what people thought about her, regardless of anything that was going on around her, she was going after the hem of His garment regardless. Nothing was going to stop her.
Amen.
I tell you what. I don't know how many people can handle about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. I came to this church almost 8 years ago, and I sat and preached it up with King James Bible for almost 4 years before I got saved. You know why? It's not that salvation wasn't there for me. There was something in my heart God had to show me about myself. There was something he had to reveal to me, that very miracle. That very miracle that he had to show to me. I said this in my Sunday school class. And I'm going to use this as one example. 20 years, God mightily oppressed Israel before they called upon him.
Try it.
20 years. He mightily oppressed me to show me and reveal to me what I was. And until I could see that, it's not like I wasn't searching. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Guess what? I got the reward. I got salvation. I got eternity. Once I got saved, I never lost it. It ain't going anywhere. It's mine for eternity. I'm going to heaven regardless if anybody likes it or not. But you see, to get people to reach for even the hem of his garment. Let me keep reading here. Today, the hem of Jesus' garment is the Word of God. We have it to reach for. As an unsaved person, I would read this Bible. And I mean, I would study. I did so much studying, it's almost crazy how much studying I've done. As an unsaved person, I was reaching out for the hem of his garment. And then when I got my hand on that thing, I was made whole. I was made whole. Not just the outside. This thing ain't cleaned up. I know I'm still ugly. Me and Mike were talking about that downstairs. But the inside. You know what? Here, let me tell you something about the inside real quick. On the outside, some people can look real good. Jesus Christ said, those, they look white on the outside, but the inside is full of dead men's bones. You know what? Salvation, my dead men's bones. In Ezekiel, he talks about putting the sinew and the muscle and putting all the skin and all that back on. Then people still weren't alive. It wasn't until God breathed on them that they came alive. For 4 years, I was reading my Bible and studying. You know what I was? All that muscle and sinew and skin came back on me. But it wasn't until Jesus Christ breathed on me that I became alive.
Amen.
He cleaned the dead bones out. Hey, you know what else happened to me after salvation? My conscience got clean. You know what else happened to me after salvation? I finally got hope. I finally have hope now. This isn't it for me. I'm sorry for all you unsaved people. If you were to die today, this is what you get. This is what's your reward. This is all you'll get for eternity. It's only going to get worse from here. Not for me. Not for me. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved, brother. I'm going, and I rejoice for that thing. I'm happy that I'm finally saved. That somebody counted me worth something. Somebody looked down from heaven and said, you're worth something. Woo! Even on that cross for it. I didn't have to go to hell. I didn't have to pay for the things that I've done. He did it for me. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his salvation. I thank God that the hem of his garment went by me, and I reached for it, and I grasped on that thing, and I searched diligently, and you know what he did? He gave me the reward. That reward is salvation. Oh, it's so worth it. It's so worth it because let me tell you, I come from the streets. I'm a street guy. That's it, through and through. And sometimes I still got some street stuff in me. And I don't mean it. I try to clean that up. A lot of times I want to get a point to somebody. You know what I do? I get real defensive sounding. I get riled up. I get raw. But you know what? I have to watch that thing. I have to watch how I do that. Because you know what? Passionate or not, I have to watch how I come across because it may affect somebody the wrong way one time. And then they may never come back. And they may never see Jesus again. I may say something wrong. I mean, you remember the first few months of me up here preaching. Here, I said a cuss word. Bam! I dropped the cuss word right from behind the pulpit. Bam! Whoa! Yeah. But understand. Man. God's cleaning me up. He's cleaning it inside up. He said it earlier at 11 o'clock. We still had the sins in it. I'm just as apt to sin today as I was before I got saved. But you know what the difference is? My desire is not to do it. And if I do it, I get tore out the flame. I don't want that anymore. I don't want the bitterness and stuff that Mike was talking about. Oh, believe me, you, I know the bitterness. Oh, do I know the darkness. Oh, do I know how it feels to sit in a crowded room and still feel alone. How do I know just sitting in a room. I'm out here and I'm free, and I still feel like I'm a convict. I still feel like I'm a prisoner. I don't have that today. Been set free. I've been set free. He said he died to make the captivity, release the captives. He let me free. He set me free. Open that door. He opened that door for eternity. Now I'm going to heaven for eternity. I don't have to pay the price that I was guilty of. You know what made me guilty? Anybody know what makes them guilty? I'll just leave that there for you to think for a little bit now. But I'm telling you right now, without Jesus Christ, you're guilty. If you don't know why, I'll tell you one way that you can find out. Go ahead and get in that Bible. Those feelings that you start getting when you're reading it, that's why you're guilty. Doing the things that you're out there doing, you get that little thing inside of you, better pay attention to it. He said it won't always strive with man. He didn't promise that he's always going to work with you, did he? He died for you. Those who stiffen their neck are suddenly destroyed. Those who keep hardening their neck are suddenly destroyed. Hey, take that for what you want. You know the healing's there. I can promise you this. This world, what it has to offer you, the devil offered it to Jesus Christ, and he's offering it to you today. The differences between Jesus and people who are saved is they refused it. You have not. You accepted the offer of the devil. You will bow down to him, and you are. Your life shows it, and you're okay with it. That's the sad part. That's the sad part. Because as I look around this room, I know most of you. I know where you come from. And the sad part is you're okay with where you are today. You know, Pastor, I had to come to a place in my life where I wasn't okay where I was.
Amen.
Because I finally realized I'm at odds with God. I may be at odds with you all day long. No big deal. I've been there before. But you know what made the difference? Being at odds with God. Knowing there was something between me and Him. Imagine that. My mom would tell you this. She would testify. I didn't bow down to any man or anything. I'd rather take your head off your shoulders. That's what I did to people. Whether if I lost, whether I won, it did not matter. It's just the kind of attitude I was, how I walked around. I'd jump off the porch and I'd rob you right off my mother's front porch. She'd watch me do it. Going, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Taking this dude's money. That's just the kind of person I was. Alcoholic. Horrible. I come home for Christmas. My mother's like, Dale, please leave the alcohol outside. I had a fifth of Jack in one pocket and a 40 ounce of Old English wrapped up in a brown paper bag in the other. Drugs in my front pocket. That's what she should tell you. Alcoholic. 7 days a week, I used to go to the store on Saturday nights because you couldn't buy alcohol on Sundays, and I would go and make sure I had enough for Sunday. Just the kind of person I was. And you mean to tell me he couldn't do it for you? Oh, wait. It's not the point that he can't do it for you. You know he can do it for you, you just don't want it.
Amen.
You'd rather live for your flesh. You'd rather live for your sins. You'd rather live for what you want and the ways that you want and forget Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, one day you're going to put that on the back burner one too many times. And what a sad day that's going to be. What a sad day that's going to be. It's 20 to 2. I know you're tired and hot. You really don't feel like my hot air coming out of my mouth. But let me just tell you what's coming out of my mouth is the Word of God. What's coming out of my mouth is a warning that Jesus Christ has given each and every person that's sitting in this room. It's a warning from God. Come back. Return. Repent. Anybody here tell me what repent means? How much do we love this Bible? How much are you willing to sell out for this Bible? How much are you willing to sell out for Jesus Christ? How much? Not enough? I don't say that because you think I have everything perfect. Please come to my house and watch me for a while. I will let you down pretty quickly. I have the first 10 minutes you're in my house. But the desire for me is not wanting to stay there. The desire of me is to get on my face, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, forgive me. That was the point that I wanted to make. I bowed down to no man, but I do bow down to God. You better believe if the Lord told me to lay flat on this floor right now, I lay flat. You guys might have to help me get up, but I'll do it. He's a holy God. He's a holy, be holy for I am holy. So why is it okay for us to go out there and live any old way we want, Christian? Why is it okay? Be ye holy for I am holy. Come out from among them. Is that not what it says? Or am I just saying something that's just something coming out of my mouth? Is that not what the scripture says? Come out from among them, be ye separate. He wants us to live holy, a separation. We're called, we're called to the ministry. We're called to go out there and minister to people and whatever. Called to minister into your own home or whatever else. But you're called to separation. A holy life. Compromise is not what he called us to. I'm sorry, but is there any conviction? When you're out there doing those things, are you just wiping it away like it's not a big deal anymore? Have you gotten so callous and that your conscience is so seared that God can't even reach it anymore? You see, you can come up to this altar all you want, but if God is not in your heart and he's not exposing it to you, you aren't seeing it, he can't do nothing. There is no repentance. You better pray God grant you repentance. You're in a scary place. You're in a very scary place. You know what happened? There's no fear of God anymore, Brother Mike. There's not an ounce of bit of fear of God in anybody anymore these days. How do I know that? Because I didn't have a fear of God. Hell, you know, I didn't get saved because of hell. Hell didn't scare me. I'm just being honest. I'm just being truthful. The thought of hell is not what scared me. The thought of being eternally damned and separated from God is what got me. That there was something there. Something was going to happen to me when I died. What was it? My sin nature wasn't taken care of. I had a boatload of sins that needed to be forgiven. And there's only one person that paid that price, and his name was Jesus Christ. And that's who I had to go to. That was my medicine. That void that used to be in our hearts. That black hole that never, no matter what we feel. Hey, you know what's going on in America today? Is they're trying to shove all this stuff in there to fill that void. It's like a black hole. It's coming in one side and shooting out in space, and it's never filling the outs of it. Only Jesus Christ will ever stop that black hole that's in your heart. He was the only one that will ever fill that void. I love my wife to death, and thank God. Thank God. You guys, most of you know the story, but my wife used to pray that I would die because she didn't want to divorce me. But she loved me. She didn't want to leave me. But she prayed, Lord, just take him out of my life. I can't take the abuse anymore. He did a better thing. He saved me. He gave her a new husband. A saved husband. And I tell you what, I put on this morning, I said, as our journey gets longer, our love grows stronger. It's not, our love is not weakening in this wicked world. Our love is not weakening in this walk that we have with Jesus Christ. It's getting stronger by the day. It's getting stronger and stronger because we rely on Jesus Christ. We're raising a family on Jesus Christ. And we're learning how to love each other as Jesus Christ would show us how. I'm talking about two destroyed people that should have never made it. I asked Pastor a couple weeks ago, I said, how? Why? How is it possible that me and Amy ever made it? You know the answer. Sure ain't nothing I could do. He saved my marriage. Oh, thank God, I know. 6 months after my salvation, my wife got saved. 6 months after me. And you know what? The Lord's just been taking us to different places and teaching us things. How to love and respect and honor each other as a husband and wife should. Hey, did you know there's in the Bible it tells you how to do that, brother? God, I didn't know if anybody knew that. Yeah. Do you know, Pastor Hayne, that it can teach us how to raise our children? Mm-hmm. I know one person that I look up to because I believe he's got it right, and that's Brother Mike Fall. I seen his son here working the other day. Would to God, because like I said, I was a hoodlum. But word to God that I can get and start learning how to teach my son. That's why I take Joshua and stuff. Now, I don't know much, but guys like Brother Mike, when they teach me things, you ask Pastor Hank, didn't I pass the information down to you from Mike? Why? Now, I can pass that down to my son. I can pass that to Joshua, Zane, and all those guys. I can do all that kind of stuff. I just need somebody to teach me. I'm not stupid. I can do it. But I had nobody ever to show me. Why? Because I was an idiot. Nobody wanted to be around me, and I understand that. But I'm not anymore. I'm half a cripple, too. Ask Mike. I had to sit down a lot. But it's not like I'm not willing to learn. I am willing. But it's guys like him that went and taught his son not to be a sluggard, a lazy person. That was a miracle God gave Mike to be able to do such a thing. To raise a family. I know some of the story that Mike went through. And I'm not going to open up the whole thing. But it's a miracle what God did to Mike. That he could stand up here, raise his family, stand up here and preach that message to us. A miracle. That Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you something. If I can say, listen, if you do this such as a, I got a huge reward for you. If you could just, you know, do this thing for me. I'm pretty sure most of you would say, yeah. But I say, you have to go through Jesus to get it. Oh, no. That reward ain't nothing anymore. Most of you know what, because America has so commercialized Christianity. You know, the birth of Jesus Christ in the manger and all that. It's a big old story during Christmas time. Everybody looks at it like it's a story, like it's a fable, like it's not real. They've been so numb to that thing. But the reality is our Savior was born in a manger to come and die for us. And it's not just something around Christmas time. It's 365 days a year. It's almost 2 o'clock. How many people are dropping off into hell today? And the manger meant nothing to them. The law of God, the fear of God meant not a thing to them. Reaching for the hem of Jesus Christ's garment. What did that mean to him? The Word of God. You're a fool, Dale. You're a fool because you believe that, really? Okay, let me just tell you this. I told my family this the other day. I really had a good talk with them. I said, you didn't like me for the person that I was. You don't like me for who I am today. I said, but you ought to be thankful that I'm not the same person that I used to be. You ought to be thankful that I'm not the same person that I used to be. You ought to be thankful that Jesus Christ went and did something in my life. And I want to share that very thing with you. I know you're going to reject it. I know you don't want to hear what I have to say. But I'm telling you, that's where the hope lies, in Jesus Christ. I know, but you all have the answer, especially young people. I know you all have the answer. You're right. You have the answer. You know why? Because when I was in my 19s and 20s and all, I had all the answers too. You know where it got me? Click, locked up. Drugs, alcohol, and everything else. Yeah, I knew the answer. You're right. I had it right. Woo! Look at all the people. Hey, look at the trail slime I was being that a little slimy, nasty slug crawling across the ground. You're right. I knew the answer. I had it all right. Woo! Go for a job interview and they say, well, that felony stops you from getting hired. After how many years? How long have I been out? 13 years? I've been out of prison? No, 14 years, something like that. Is that a miracle that I can even forget how long I've been out of prison? It's been so long. Just tell me. Reaching for the hem. I got about a few minutes. Awfully quiet in here. Everybody still alive? Do I need to bring a blood pressure cuff in here and make sure everybody's still have nobody drop off on up here, man? Let's see. Today, the hem of Jesus is the garment, is the Word of God. People need to reach out for His Word, for His healing, and cleansing the issues. With a rod shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. That's Psalm 119:9. And I just want to tell you, this is why people don't want the Bible, because they will cling their ways. Oh, I get my clock cleaned all the time by reading the Word of God. Let me tell you something. But most people reject what the Bible has to say because it will make them go out there and do exactly the opposite of what they're doing. That's why I know this book here was written by God, because it, you know what? It goes against everything mankind stands for. Everything. If it was a Bible written for men, I could stand up here and tell you today that I'm not going to hell. I'm okay with how I live. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even be here preaching. I'd probably be sitting home watching some soccer game with a 40 ounce in my hand. Maybe dead, maybe in prison, who knows? But that's why I know that this is written by God. Because it has brought me from the gutters. It's brought me from the gutters. Jesus Christ's blood washed me and it cleansed me. And the King James Bible brought me up from the gutters. And it's teaching me and showing me along the way. It's teaching me how to think differently than I ever have, ever, in my entire life. Never. Hey, I went to college for 2 semesters, you believe? And I made the dean's list. That's amazing to me. Oh, I know, you don't believe King. I know. You're not going from reading the King James Bible, though, right? Yeah. You got some excuse of why that is. I don't have an excuse. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Hey, I started out as a janitor cleaning toilets. Yep, I cleaned toilets, and it was pretty disgusting for a long time. By 2.5 years, I was running my own restaurant, McDonald's. I was a second assistant. They would hand me $15,000 to $20,000 and tell me to go to the bank with it. $15,000 to $20,000 big ones. Guess what I went? I went to the bank with it. And I deposited exactly where I was supposed to, when I was supposed to, and how I was supposed to do it. You don't think that I could have went out there and had that money in my pocket? You better believe it. I would have split it with one of you. I'm just telling you. The grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and what he can do for a person's life is outstanding. Here's the problem. People don't think. Well, I was never as bad as Dale. I was never a drug addict or alcoholic or anything. I was never that bad. They don't see, they comparing themselves to me that they're not that bad. You better compare yourself to what God says. You better compare yourself to what the Bible says. Don't compare it to me. You compare it to what Jesus Christ said. Don't you look at me and try to compare your life to me and say, oh, you needed it. You were a bad person. Oh, no. You better take the word of God and you better start comparing with that. And I'll tell you what right now, as much as it will hurt you, God won't lie to you. He'll be truthful and he'll expose you for what you are. I might feel sorry for you and say, oh, you know, God, I'm sorry, but God is relentless. You know, Pastor's relentless. God is relentless. He's relentless with this thing. Why? Because he has to expose you for what you are. He's got to show you. How else are you going to see it? Men can get up here and preach all day long. And I thank God for the message we get at Black Creek. Man, we are some spoiled people at Black Creek. But let me tell you this. Oh, let me tell you this. I'm going to get hyper here in a second. Listen to me. You got to bring this thing home. You got to bring church home with you. You got to bring it to work with you. You got to bring it to the store with you. You got to bring it to families' houses. You got to bring this thing with you. You got to live it. You got to breathe it. You got to want it. You got to want to love it. You got to take this thing like you say serious, more serious than you've ever taken anything in your entire life. You have to do it. Oh, I'm telling you now. You can ask Pastor. The last few weeks, the roads that I've been having to go down have been hard roads for me. Hard roads. But I know the outcome is going to be this. That by the time God is done with me at the end of this week, I'll be in a better place than I was. Amen. I've come to realize that after almost four years of being saved. As hard as it can get, I mean tears. Agony over my sins. Agony over the things that I've gotten myself into and the compromises. Agony over that. But when God's done, I'm in a better place than I ever was. Take it from somebody who was not raised on the King James Bible, who's only found this thing recently in the past 8 years. I'm just telling you, you want a miracle in your life? You don't need a pill or a psychiatrist or that. If you're on it, you stay on it, that's between you and your doctor. But here's the healing. Okay. This is the medicine you need. This will lead you to what you need right here. Please, you know what it says? It says that people look in the mirror. Now I'm going to paraphrase it. People look in the mirror and they walk away and forget about what they were. Keep reading this and keep exposing to what you are. And keep showing you what you are. And face it. If you need anything, hey, this Pastor Haynes, Pastor there, Mike's around. I mean, I'm around, whoever else. If if you need help facing that, hey, call us. We can talk to you. We can pray with you. We can pray for you. Face it. Stop running. Because it will get you to the same place that it got anybody who refused it. Hell. Hell. I know you don't believe it, and that's okay. If you don't believe it, doesn't mean it's not true. I didn't believe it either. But it's a price. But I'm going to close with this simple thing right here. When you're standing in front of a judge, and you've done something wrong, don't you have to pay a penalty? Get what I'm saying? You're going to stand in front of God one day. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, it's mandatory that you pay that penalty. Mandatory. And it's not going to be like you think. The Bible says it's going to cast your hand or foot. They're going to cast you in there. Please don't be that one. I know you want to be cool around people, or you know what, you're afraid to step out because of this or that. Is it going to be worth your soul for eternity? I used to worry about what people thought of me. You know what? I could care less now. I don't care. But I see how important taking that step has been for me. Please take that step. Pastor, I'm done.
Real quick.